Hello, welcome to Locked On Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. First round of the draft is in the books. Plenty to talk about with the Sharks as they move back. They pass on Brad Lambert to draft Philip Bystedt. So we're going to get into all the action around the Sharks tonight and all the moves that came with it. So all that and more on tonight's episode of Locked On Sharks.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, JD Young. Thank you, of course, for making us your first listen of the day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can subscribe on YouTube, where we are doing a live show right now. And if you don't know, I'm a contributor at Fear the Fin in San Jose Hockey Now. And what a night for the Sharks. So coming in, let's go ahead and start at the beginning. So, you know, the way the kind of the draft broke down with Kevin Krejcinski going number seven and then Matt Savoy going number nine. I think those were the two guys that the Sharks really kind of had circled at number 11. If those two, either one of those guys were there, I think they would have just stayed put and drafted at number 11, but they were both drafted. So I like the trade down. I thought it was really smart value for the Sharks going from 11 to 20, you know, and then picking up 27, which, and the, you know, late first round pick, and then adding two more picks in the second round there. I think it was 34 and 42 or something like that. Great. You don't have a second round pick. You just added two second round picks. And especially in a way the draft was kind of tumbling and, you know, guys were falling down. And I thought that was a really, really great idea from Mike Greer of, you're not, you know, the two guys you want aren't there. Don't reach for somebody. Try to get some value back. But then passing on Brad Lambert. And I made my spiel about Brad Lambert yesterday and how I think he could be special. And there's a bajillion red flags with Brad Lambert. And yes, I know. But the potential of Brad Lambert to be a top line or, a top six forward for you and getting him at 27 and then also getting two draft picks, if they had done that, we would be going crazy on this podcast right now. And that's not to say, you know, Philip Bystedt, like, you know, he's probably going to be a very fine player. And, you know, he's we'll get into him and his scouting reports of what type of player he's probably going to end up being. But if the Sharks had played this and gotten Lambert at 27, we would be just absolutely losing our mind right now. And I know there's plenty of red flags with Brad Lambert. And, you know, it's a lot like Ryan Merkley, right? Where, you know, change of teams, maybe isn't the most coachable player, but oozes talent. And it's tough. And I know Sharks fans, a lot of us were very excited to potentially be in a spot to add Brad Lambert. And I was advocating to draft him at 11 and, you know, seeing some of the guys like Lakir Maki go at 15 with Lakir Maki to the Canucks. It's just not even, that's going to be brutal. And then, you know, like the way things worked out for Seattle tonight, where they got Shane Wright at, you know, at number four. And now you got Wright and Beniers down to the center. And like, that's just going to be insane. But it's tough. So, you know, we might look back and be like, wow, Brad Lambert never turned into anything. And wow, Doug Wilson Jr. is really smart and passing on Brad Lambert was a good choice, but I don't know. It's just going to be one of those things where we're probably going to be looking back in a couple of years and going, man, you could have had Brad Lambert at 27 and been laughing, you know, especially with adding 2 second round picks. And I really love the trade. I thought it was a really smart trade. You got an incredible value for pick number 11. And then I'm not a big Connor Geeky fan, so Coyotes, have fun with Geeky at 13. He is not my dude. But yeah, it's again, the trade, excellent trade from the Sharks. It's just the pick is worrisome. And, you know, especially where a lot of guys had him by said as a mid second rounder. So you could have gotten him at like 34 or 40, whatever the pick is. And it's just, it feels like a, if it's you're doing things halfway, right? Great job on the trade. Let's tough pick here. So before we get into Bysetting and kind of, you know, we're going to look at his draft profiles and kind of his stats and kind of see what type of player the Sharks are going to get. And then I'll probably answer some of your questions and, you know, look at, we'll talk some draft stuff here at the end of it too, but let's take a quick break first and talk to you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. If I can find the right graphic, Bet Online, of course, has got you covered. Number one source for your betting needs and sports information, from live sports developments, league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball. You got Summer League. If you're a degenerate and want to bet on Summer League, go have fun on that. Of course, you have football that's starting next month, so you can make sure you get your football futures in. BetOnline's got you covered with all that stuff. And if that's not your cup of tea, they also have MMA, boxing, and golf. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. So let's talk about Filip Hajsa, because no, it's no use crying over spilled milk. It is what it is. And you know what? There's a lot of potential with him. So I don't think he's Brad Lambert potential, but he's definitely a much safer prospect compared to Brad Lambert, who you never know what, you know, with Lambert, where he might be amazing. He might just never get his stuff together and never kind of pan out the way you hope. But so let me bring in my fun little thing here. So Filip Hajsa, if you're watching, well, you guys are all watching on YouTube right now. So he, big boy, 6 foot for 205 pounds, for plays in Linköping. Let's go to Linköpings. That's a pretty awesome name. In Sweden, February 2004 born. So if you're into astrology based drafting, not the best, but some of his ranks. So he was ranked by Elite Prospects at 70, FC Hockey at 35. 42 by Bob McKenzie, 60 by McKean's, 69 by Craig Button. Very nice. He was at number 17 in the NHL Central Scouting. Our friends over at Smot had him at 39. Dauber had him at 39. So 60 by the Puck Authority. So a little bit of a reach, right? Where, you know, looking at some of the guys who were on the board and some of the guys available, and it felt like you could have waited a little bit potentially and gotten him. So, so scoring this year, so he played, he played 15 SHL games, with Linköping, where he had 1 goal, 1 assist for 2 points, in those 15 games. Played most of the season on the under 20 team. So there he had, 40 games, he had 16 goals, 33 assists for 49 points. And then he added another, 1 goal, 9 assists and 10 points in 8 playoff games as well. So, decent scoring rate at 1.23. If we go into, Byron Bader's model, so he has a 50% chance of becoming an NHLer and an 15% star probability, which I guess isn't too bad for a kind of end of the first round type of guy. His comps, Nick Schmaltz, Charlie Coyle. Hey, that name sounds familiar. Toby Peterson, Brandon Sutter, and Alexei Yashin. So there's some decent names there. And, you know, maybe I think once the disappointment kind of wears off for us as Sharks fans, we'll probably be more excited about him. And, you know, we don't want to hold it against him that he's not Brad Lambert. So the please, like, don't just kill this poor kid before he even has a chance to even to do anything. So, you know, reading some of his scouting reports, you know, it's he's big, but I don't think he uses his size maybe the way you would want. So, friend of the show, Mikkel Holm. So he had him as a late first, early second round. So I think he was a little bit higher. So his scouting report was by says a large, smooth skating center with a hell of a shot and good playmaking skills. The combinations of skills that Bicep possesses should make him a clear-cut first-rounder, but he, as with a lot of young players, has consistency issues. You don't always get the effort, the high-quality play, and the full Bicep experience, but when you do, you get blown away. If he can fix some of these consistency issues and effort issues, the team that drafts him will get a really good middle six center with solid upside potential. Okay, that's not too bad for an end-of-the-first-round type of draft pick. Who else do I have here? I'm trying to go. I have way too many tabs open. I'm sorry, guys. The Elite Prospects Guide. So here was their scouting report. So NHL power brokers still covet power forwards more than they do just about any other player in the sport. And after all, who doesn't like a player who can combine size, skill, and speed? Phil Bicep doesn't exactly fit that mold at the moment, but even the slim chance that he'll one day get there will be enough to elevate his stock, perhaps even to the first round. Right now, Bicep has the size and handling skills to offer the speed that will come later. While improving the output of a player's stride is a difficult endeavor, the finer mechanics of Linkopig centered skatings are better than most for 6'4" forwards, which suggests that he could be more agile with appropriate coaching. Just improving his speed won't be enough for Bicep, though. He also has learned how to use it better against defenders. Most of his plays are currently made in a glide. The forward prefers to slow down with the tempo of the game. He attacks in a straight line and then cuts his motor to dangle through the stick and feed a defender, something he can pull off at the J20 level, but won't be possible at the SHL or NHL level. Long development path that Bicep has ahead of him and some concerns about his abilities to see plays develop have us drop him on our boards this season. He's a project for an organization with a strong development team. Cool. I think the Sharks have a strong development team. So, and then another one, this is from the NHL Draft Black Book. Bicep is a huge centerman who has a big presence when he's on the ice. At 6'4", he can really be missed and has a few qualities that can make him stand out. Sorry, he really can't be missed. Sorry. He's really big. He's an interesting prospect that you consider his attributes and his size, because even if he is absolutely huge, there's not a whole lot of toughness in this player. Instead, he relies on really good hands and stick handling and a solid skating foundation. He can generate a lot of power in strides, but has top-end speed, doesn't really become as fast as it should. This could be due to the fact that he is heavy and his mechanics seem to be holding back from a higher pace of skating. Another thing that he's really good with is his hands, especially considering his size and length of a stick. He can't control the puck at top speed. Well, technically he can, but he cannot be creative with the puck at his top speed. His biggest asset offensively is his wrist shot. It is one of the few players that can beat a goaltender cleanly from range. Oh, that's nice to hear. It's just too bad he's unable to win battles from the inside to put himself in better scoring positions. He's a notorious perimeter player that seems unwilling to change that. He doesn't even attempt to win on the inside. During Swedish championship playoffs, he engaged in battles for the inside twice in three games. And one of the times he simply gave up. And on the other one, he won on the inside, but couldn't make anything of it. For us, it's a mystery how a player can possess this frame but not use it. Bicep did produce quite well this season. He scored 49 points in 40 games, but the majority of his points were assists on the power play, where he was able to make a decent amount of good plays and passes. However, even though he thinks he's a big size playmaker, there are no signs of him being able to fulfill that role in the future. If he doesn't mature and start to engage in more physical play with his frame, it'll be a terrible waste of talent, hopefully with maturity, et cetera, et cetera. It kind of reminds me of Brandon Coe, where I think he has a lot of the tools, but he just needs to kind of put it together. And a lot of the same skill sets as Brandon Coe, where he's a big guy, but he can move really pretty well. He's got really good hands for a big guy. And you hope, you know, playing more games against men and playing more games in the SHL where he'll be able to kind of work on those skills and stuff, and that he can start to put it together for him. So I'm not, you know, Brandon Coe, of course, was a fourth round pick who's, you know, won the prospect of the year for the Sharks this season. And, you know, his development path has really taken off since the Sharks drafted him. So, you know, that's kind of where I feel, you know, I feel if you're getting a Brandon Coe type of player, sign me up for that. So, yeah, before we kind of talk some of the drafts here, so just want to thank you guys, of course, for making us your first listen. Go ahead, and if you haven't, also please make sure you guys are checking out the Locked On NHL channel as well. And then let's get into some of the chat and stuff. I have not looked at the chat at all, so I apologize. I think a lot of you guys are really not super happy about the draft, about passing on Lambert. And, you know, someone's at shades of passing on Noel Gundler in 2020. Yep. Very, very fair. What else? You know, I think people are asking of who we took Filipino. No, we took Philip Bison. You know, maybe some of the guys for tomorrow. You know, Gleb Chikrasov is, you know, somebody I'm kind of circling here. I really think they're going to try to get a defenseman or one of these first two picks. Leigh Hutson would be really fun. You know, there's plenty of fun guys, I think, that the Sharks could pick here. And it almost kind of reminds me of like the 2020 draft where, you know, the Sharks picked Ozzy with the last pick of the draft, and it felt a little bit like a reach at that time. But then, you know, they got Bordalo and Robbins with their 2 second round picks, and everyone's like, oh, this draft is amazing. So let's see what Doug Wilson Jr. has up his sleeve right now. You know, where it's just kind of the same thing where it felt like you could have gotten Ozzy in the second round. You know, but I have a very sneaky feeling that we'll probably feel a lot better coming out Friday after Friday. So, but yeah, I think some of I think a defenseman I would be shocked if they don't pick a defenseman with one of these two picks here. It's pretty, especially with how Mike Greer said, we need to try to get some more size and on the back end. And, you know, we talked about how, at least the Sharks didn't pass on Shane Wright 3 times. Yes, the Sharks didn't pass on Shane Wright 3 times. But yeah, like I know Seamus Casey, who he's the wee baby Seamus is a little bit smaller. You know, but yeah, I think the Sharks could definitely, they're in a good position. Like if, you know, having more swings at the apple, and I really like them having 2 second round picks here. And, you know, maybe when they package one of these second round picks to move a contract off type of thing. You know, I know some people are happy they didn't go with Lambert. I don't know. We've been on the Kyle when Kyle was here, RIP Kyle. You know, we've been pretty high on the Lambert train since day one, just because you just see, like, you see those flashes of how he could get, how he could be a special, special player. So, but yeah, you know, Gleb Chikrasov, who we talked about with way back in the day with a good friend, Will Scouch, you know, Lane Hutson, Seamus Casey, like there's plenty of good, you know, good players still available for the Sharks to get here. And then of course they have their third round pick and, you know, 2 fifth rounds and stuff. So we'll see. I think Bysett, I think he's going to be a very serviceable player. He's going to play NHL games. Like he's going to be a middle six type of guy for the Sharks. And it just feels like they have a ton of these middle six type of guys. And it would have been nice to kind of swing for the fences, especially since you have kind of 3 picks in a 15 pick row here. But yeah, I'm so if you guys have any questions, please drop them in. I'm more than happy to answer them now, because yeah, it's been a long day. Just the draft was, I mean, the draft was insane. Like, you know, what Chicago did and basically burned it, you know, walking in today had zero picks, and then walked out with three picks. I mean, I know you had to trade some of your best players on your team. I think Kirby Dach, though, for 13, like, I think that was kind of a really nice trade for them. You know, it's Kevin Kurchinski at number seven. I mean, basically trading Alex DeBrincat for Kevin Kurchinski. That's a pretty interesting pick there as well. You know, I really like the Wilds draft. They always do, man. They just pick guys I really like. I really like the Wilds draft, which I'm totally blanking on who they picked right now, which is really bad of me. I literally sat here and watched the whole thing, and I can't remember who anybody's picking at the moment. So I'm pulling up the thing right now. Where is the draft? But yeah, I like their draft. Who some other people? Ogren and Yurov, thank you. Yeah, I like those. They always just pick good guys, and it's like they're patient and they wait for good guys. That's just what they do. So I like I really like their draft. Like I said, I like Lakhir Maki to the Canucks. Getting into play with Elias Pettersson is going to be just awesome for him. Some of my other favorite ones. I mean, again, the Kraken just getting Shane Wright to pair with Matty Beniers. Like, Matty Beniers is my second favorite player in the entire draft last year. I like, that's just not fair, man. Like, the Sharks are gonna have some work. Who do we hope come away with tomorrow? I think if you get like Gleb Chikrosov, who's just insanely fun, if you get him and then get a solid defenseman tomorrow, like if it's, you know, Seamus Casey or Lane Hutt, like whoever, just get, that's who they're gonna pick tomorrow, I think. And then yeah, just pick fun guys. So I mean, after that, it's all a crapshoot anyway. So Europe was an absolute steal. It's so good. Am I in Mountain View? No, I'm not in Mountain View. I live in Clovis, so a couple hours from Mountain View. Yes, I'm gonna need some coffee tomorrow. It's gonna be a long ass day tomorrow. Oh, sorry, excuse my language. We're not allowed to swear anymore, so don't tell anybody that I said that. I'm sorry. I was surprised Kemmel fell out. I am. I thought he was you know, potential. I thought he was going to go in the top 10. I thought he was going to go, if Cutter Gauthier got drafted early, which I was, you know, we heard that he was going to be climbing. I thought he would be a potential for the Sens, but after the Sens traded for DeBrincat, which again, that was it. That was a steal by the Sens, getting DeBrincat for number seven. Especially because we know the Sens are probably going to reach for a guy anyway. So I love that trade for the Sens. Like, you have a really young, fun core, and DeBrincat fits in with their timeline. So I like that trade for the Sens. And as you know, we've done enough of Sens bashing on this podcast, but yeah, that was a great trade for them. It was one of those days at work where you're just like, trying to do stuff, but you can't because you have to just keep refreshing Twitter all the day. But yeah, that was a great trade for them. Some of the other picks, I mean, the Jets getting Brad Lambert is just absolutely insane. Let's see. Hoping for Mark Estapa in our seventh round. Bordy would be ecstatic. Awesome. Vasilis or Havlad, considering we apparently like Swedes and how badly we need a D-man, I think one of these guys might be there. Perfect. Sign me up for D-man. Like I said, I would be one of my props was actually the first pick on day two was going to be a D-man. So I wouldn't. Yeah, I think they're going to be coming away with with at least one of these soups D-men here. It sure seems like walking orders from new management are just to try to restock their rookie pool. I mean, that's what they've been kind of on that marching order for the past couple of years, you know, is to try to do that. And, you know, that's fine, especially with, since the pool's been so bad for so long, you know, we've all been basically hanging our hat on the Ryan Merkley is basically the only good one. And all the Kudo players are literally like fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guys. So yeah, they should be restocking their pool. And you see smart teams do this. Like, look at the LA Kings, right? They restock their pool they spent a lot of time restocking their pool and doing a good job drafting. And now they've gotten to this position where not only are these guys making an impact now, but then they can use these guys for other trades, like the Kevin Fiala trade, right? Or, you know, signing Philip, like, it gives you more options to be able to kind of to make these trades. So, and kind of, if your team is accelerating on its path, like the Kings are doing, I think, you know, most people thought this season now is when the Kings would start to kind of really make their jump. And I mean, they were a playoff team last year. So kind of Kyle had them as a playoff team, but you know, they are a team that's going to start to enter that, you know, yearly playoff contender. And then hopefully for them, not as us as Sharks fans, they're going to be doing more and more with that. So yeah, just draft good players. Columbus's first round was pretty good. Yes. Michael Walters was. Yeah. Columbus had a first good round. Getting the two. I mean, a lot of people had the defensemen as two of the top five defensemen, and they got both of them. So yeah, Columbus is just a smart team, man. They draft really well, and I like the way they draft. So Sabres winners of the draft. Austin Savoy and Kulik. That's a pretty solid haul right there. Savoy, again, I think Sheng had reported that the Sharks were really interested in Savoy if he was there at 11. I think it was between Savoy and then Krasinski. Of course, both of them were not drafted, were drafted before the Sharks. That's why they traded down. So, okay. Judging from how tapped out the Barracuda have been and with how the organization is pushing the AHL franchise, it seems like they're leaning into it. Yes, they should be leaning into it. Yes, please. The Barracuda, make the Barracuda fun again. So that's what they're doing. And I think that's why they're going to, I mean, we're going to see the fruits, start to see the fruits of that later labor. So, do you think there's a top Russian talent the Sharks could take late and gamble on? I don't know my Russian prospects that well, like a late Russian prospect. I mean, I would be super happy if they took Gleb Trikosov with one of their two picks here in the second round, because that dude is fun, man. He's just insanely fun. So, all right. GMs lie all the time. Greer will absolutely be open to trading. Of course he's going to be trading. You can't have three goalies. No sane team is going to have three goalies. But you can't just say like, oh, man, we hate, you know, Aiden Hill, or, man, we hate James Reimer. That just kills their trade value. So, I think we're going to see tomorrow, we're going to see an actual player, one of the Sharks players get traded tomorrow. Try to gather some more assets. I would love for them to try to get some picks into next year's draft, but I know teams are a little bit more hesitant with that. So, all right, last one. Who are my top two prospects for the second round? Like I said, give me Gleb, give me Fuel, give me Fire, give me Gleb Trikosov right now. I think him, and then, like, Seamus Casey's super fun. I know he's undersized, but he's really fun. Or like Lane Hudson. Those are kind of two. Those are three guys right there. So, all right. That's all I got. Thank you guys for hanging out with me. I'm sorry I couldn't manifest Brad Lambert. We've got next year. We'll try. We're going to start the Connor Bedard. No, it's too early for that. So thank you guys so much for making, of course, your first listen. If you're new on YouTube, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button. Gonna do another episode tomorrow after the draft. So we'll get to learn all the new players, any of the trades that go on. So I'll go through and kind of Not as probably detailed as I did with Philip Bicep, but kind of give you a nice little snapshot of who these guys are and stuff like that. And then, of course, we got free agency next week, and I'm going to be all around all day on Wednesday for the start of free agency. So I've got you guys covered there as well. So make sure you guys subscribe, follow along, all the fun stuff. And, of course, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Locked On Sharks. I'm home all day tomorrow. I'll be manning those, so we get to know all the new Sharky boys that are joining the organization. Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, you guys all know where to listen by now. YouTube, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button. Really appreciate it. Really helps the channel to grow, helps me get me that sweet, sweet YouTube money. And go check out Locked On NHL. They got you covered, especially with free agency next week and all the craziness that's going on there. And I'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Sharks. Bye, friends.